at Knox College, and we're delighted to have her share the Word of God with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with you this morning, and isn't it warm? So not only can we give warm greetings, but we actually can be, we can actually walk outside and not worry about death. Jeremiah, we are going to be talking about the prophet Jeremiah. When Pam and I were talking about me coming this morning, she's like, you know, hey, what do you want to work on? And I'm like, well, I don't talk about the prophets much, and we don't learn about the prophets much, I'm realizing. I sure haven't preached about them. Have you? Not a lot. So I thought, oh, this will be a good exercise. I'm in higher education. I know how to research. So first place I went was Facebook. And I decided to ask friends and other geeky theologians, hey, how do you remember and think of Jeremiah? So I'm reading to you from my Facebook page, just so you know it's authentic. One of my religiously trained, very astute friends said, I hear it was a bullfrog. And then our colleague across the street, Frank, said, but I helped him drink the wine. We're just going to continue it, aren't we? And then my esteemed colleague that lives in Ohio said, Jesus likes wine too. And then the spouse of Pam says, Chet Pritchett, who was my friend, Jesus wins with wine. Okay, that's them having their own fun. I know, it doesn't even make sense, does it? Okay, all right. It's kind of tying that Jeremiah was a prophet, and then so was Jesus, but Jesus is the wine. Okay. And then Glenn Bocock says, since the book was written to the Hebrews of the diaspora these days, I think of Christians of the new diaspora. Those like me who have felt cast out of a church that lives and loves doctrine and judgment rather than grace, drunk on power with rejecting the last, the least, and the lost as unworthy. I'm hoping for a kind of new covenant, Jeremiah proclaimed. And then Glenn says, does that help? Oh yeah, and he was handsome and had some mighty fine wine too. See how serious the people I hang out with are? Okay. And then another one said, he was really young when he started. We're going to get to that. Ella Johnson, who teaches religion at St. Ambrose, said, the word new. So think about that. Joan Rubin, who is part of our Jewish temple here in town and teaches at Knox, said, unheeded warnings. Also one of my favorite prophets. So I decided to go past Facebook and do some more research. So Jeremiah was from a little town 3 miles north of Jerusalem, and he was from a priestly family, and he was from the Benjamin folk. And some scholars say, Walt Brueggemann being one of them, is that the Benjamin folk didn't get along with the Davidic folk. So I like that in the story, right? Because Jesus comes from the Davidic line, and Jeremiah comes from the Benjamin line, but back in Jeremiah's time, they didn't get along. And Jeremiah's people, and Jeremiah in particular, he didn't get along with other folks because he kept trying to call them out. They weren't living up to his covenant. But I'm getting ahead of it. So he's from the small town north of Jerusalem. He's from a very well-known family, a priestly family. So he's been well-trained in the scriptures. The scriptures that he's probably worked on and learned are Isaiah and Hosea. And when we're meeting him today, it's his call. The beginning chapters of Jeremiah are his call. And he's young. But God has confidence in him. Confidence that it doesn't matter his age, or it doesn't matter how he looks, or his speech. He's the one. And so this text that we have for today is that conversation. And what I love about this conversation is it's intimate. Jeremiah, whose whole life is trying to let his people know that God is present with the people here and now, and it's intimate. And Jesus later is trying to do the same thing. God is with him now. And I love this part where God comes to him and he touches his mouth. And it's consecrating his mouth saying, you're ready to speak. But Jeremiah's like, but God, no, I'm too young. And now just kind of imagine like a 17 or 18 year old boy. Right? Yeah, too young. But no. God has confidence in him. And this is the other fun thing. When they're having this conversation, God doesn't even answer the young part. Because God knows that it is the young people that change the world. Because God continues to do it. Right? So he calls Jeremiah. He calls somebody that we know as Jesus. Remember him when he was 12 years old at the temple and he was doing the teaching? God also called somebody named Mary that we know really well, who was a young teenager, to bring forth the world. So the part of calling somebody young to do God's work is nothing new for God. So that's what's happening in this moment, that God is giving Jeremiah the confidence to go change the world. And it's done in such an intimate way. I think about young people and movements. I started thinking, well, we've heard some of these biblical folks, but what about folks in the world that we lived in and have lived in? Well, Martin Luther King was only 26 years old when he led the Montgomery bus boycott. That's listening to God. Amen? Diane Nash was a college student when she sat at the Walgreens in Nashville to integrate the drugstore. And she was an undergrad and was a young woman and heard God's call. Amen? And then I think about the young people at Knox College today, who yesterday I got to participate in this international fair, and these students who are sharing their culture, and they're teaching us about their food, and they're teaching us about their religion, and they are the teachers of us. Amen? You know what? Jeremiah isn't only, he doesn't only belong to the Christians either. He's the second most well-known and most important prophet in Hebrew scripture, so to our Jewish brothers and sisters, and he's also venerated in Islam. He's not mentioned by name in the Quran, but in their exegetical stuff, or their extra stuff, he is lifted and named. So this Jeremiah gets around. Now, what makes him so popular? It's because he dared to speak for God throughout his whole life. So in the, he lasts, he's like Billy Graham, he lasted more presidents than anybody else. He lasted five kings in his era. And the king that was king right when he came in totally broke the covenant. These folks had come to know God, but now already a generation later, they started going back to their ways of pre-God, back to their pagan gods. They started spending money and on having nice things, and you know, the richer you are, the better you are, the more important you are. And they were saying no to God. And Jeremiah kept saying, you know, if you keep living this way, something's going to happen. There's going to be a disaster. And people made fun of him. They're like, no, look at us. We're living well. We're living great. He goes, but what about the poor? What about the people you're ignoring? What about that you're not recognizing who the real God is? They're like, oh, no, really, that's okay. We're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. And then what happens is they did lose the temple. And they did lose their way. And then they had to rebuild and go back to God. Now, some people think that the Christian church is in crisis right now because we're not remembering what's important. But I think we can celebrate, we all here at First Lutheran Church, because we know what's important. And one is that you have created this space called Safe Space, where young people, maybe around the age of Jeremiah when he was called by God, can come into church as they are, whose they are, just the way they are, and talk about God, talk about relationships, talk about living in a world that doesn't really deem Christianity as important anymore, but where also we as Christians have to apologize for how the Christian church has treated our folks who come to safe space. But you know what? Safe space is growing and is getting known around town. People are talking about us, Pamela, although we're used to that. And I think our little group on Facebook was only about 20-something when we started. I think it's over 100 now. Right? Yeah. And so that means even if people aren't coming every Friday night and participating in the community and in the fellowship, many of us are staying connected through the Facebook page. And we back up each other when someone says, you know, I'm having a problem with this. I'm struggling with this. Can you help me with this? We're usually there pretty regularly, communicating with one another, being the church, living out Jeremiah's call that says you need to remember the last, the least, and the lost, and you need to remember you serve God. This, when we serve God in an authentic kind of way, it grows. So out of this safe space, now there's going to be a group called P-Flight in town. And that's parents and friends who are allies with gay, bisexual, blah, 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 you know, the alphabet soup of love. And a supportive group for that. And that they are now going to be, it's a community for families, for parents, so that they can get support with each other. For grandparents, right? You grandparents need support. I know. I'm raising you. And everybody needs support to be able to love one another. And this is coming from young people. People following the call of Jeremiah to remember the last, the least, and the lost. On Tuesday, we're going to be sponsoring me, the Spiritual Life Office, is going to be sponsoring a workshop on spirituality and sexuality. Because there's been so much misunderstanding about what the Bible says. And I got to say again, thank you, Safe Space, for being there. So Pam Rolla and Chris King are going to be on the panel. And they're going to be talking about what it means to be in the scriptures, to be a faithful Christian, to be a faithful person who lives with the scripture, is steeped in the scripture, who is loved by God and who loves God. And we're hoping to communicate to some of the last and the least and the lost at Knox College who believe that they can't be fully who they are because Scripture says no. And we're going to be there to tell them that Scripture says yes. So, First Lutheran Church, thank you for living your Christianity into 2019. Thank you for following the call of this odd little guy named Jeremiah who was really unsure of himself, but God believed in him so much that God touched his mouth. So we pray that God touches our mouths on Tuesday as we lead this workshop. But I want to thank you all for being so supportive and so open and for being truly the church. Amen.